This episode is only for a very specific group of people, and I wonder if it applies to you. This episode is for any educator who has said or heard somebody say one of the following things. That idea would never work in my classroom. You don't know my students. That lesson would blow up in my face. My students are too immature or disrespectful to do something fun like that. Or come into my classroom. You'll see, I can't get kids talking. Or the opposite of that, come into my classroom. I can't get students to stop talking. If you have ever heard a teacher say something like that, or full transparency, if you have ever been the teacher who has said that, and I need you to know, I've said things like that before. I have, okay? You're not alone. But if you are hearing these statements and it is resonating with you, then I promise you, you are going to love this episode because it is filled with a lesson and all the details of a lesson that's going to get 100% of your students involved in an appropriate way, sharing, dialoguing, debating, conversing. And at the end of the day, you're going to be like, what? That was amazing. My class was the MVP of the day and of the school. I'm telling you, I have done this now with middle school kids, high school kids, and elementary students, this exact lesson, and it has absolutely crushed in a good way at all grade levels. And I'm going to tell you in advance, the best part, you don't need to plan a bunch. It's not going to take a ton of money, a ton of effort. It's just going to take the opportunity to ask one simple question and then just see what happens from there. So if you're intrigued and you are in need of a dynamic lesson right now, then stick around because I've got one for you. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I have a lot of students this year that are really, really competitive. And I like it because I am also very competitive. I think sometimes these students take it way too far and they make it weird and they make it inappropriate and they make it not fun. But I think that there's a way to actually harness that energy. Now, if your students aren't competitive, don't even worry about it because this lesson actually isn't about a game. You're not really playing anything. It's all about asking one really important question. What does the word MVP mean? The acronym MVP, what does that mean? Now, that might sound like a really basic and silly question because a majority of students would automatically know, oh, that stands for most valuable player. Now, some of your students might not know that because a new word has kind of replaced it. And now our students say goated, like goat, like, no, that's a sheep. What's a goat say? I don't even know what a goat says, but goated stands for the greatest of all time. My students will do this all the time. They're like, oh yeah, tater tots, they're goated, which means they believe that the perfect potato is a tater tot. Well, whether your students are familiar with the word goated or MVP, that simple question of what does the word MVP mean is the baseline for everything that's going to unfold. Because when it stands for most valuable player, I think that term immediately gets thoughts into kids' heads. They hear that and they're like, oh, I know what an MVP looks like, sounds like, or plays like. But I ask students, what are the characteristics of an MVP? Like, I'm going to write down every single one of them. And I pulled up my digital whiteboard and I just started recording some of the things that kids had said. So things like, it means that they're a good leader. It means that they're kind, that they play fair, that they're actually good at the sport. They said an MVP is usually very competitive. They usually have a good personality and good sportsmanship. They're helpful. They're respectful. They're a motivator. They're honest. They are responsible. They make reasonable decisions. They're a hard worker. They're practical. They give their full effort. I need you to know that that list that I just named off were not my opinions. Those were the answers of a bunch of kids whose arms shot up in the air immediately without triggering, without prompts. Those hands went up and I got a list of nearly 20 different characteristics. In fact, I said to students, one of my goals in this class period is to hear every single one of your voices. So I want 20 answers, because there are 20 of you in this class. And they just started throwing things out there. And we had these really great conversations. If I didn't know what a student meant by saying, like, reasonable, I said, like, what do you mean by that? And a group of kids said, well, sometimes during practice, it's really important that all of the players are being reasonable about calls because we don't have a referee. We don't have a line judge. They were specifically talking about volleyball. And they said that person has to be reasonable. Like if it was on the line, you got to call it was on the line, even if you don't want to. So for every single one of those words, I was hitting pause and saying, tell me more about that. Like MVP, I'm like, good personality. What does that mean? And they're like, honestly, if you're a jerk, no one is going to nominate you to be the MVP. And I said, well, tell me more about that. And they're like, well, most of the time, the MVP is actually nominated by the coach or nominated by the teammates. And if you are just always mean and have a negative and disrespectful personality, why would somebody on the team or why would the coach nominate you for that? And so that one simple question of what is an MVP? What does that stand for? Now let's dig a little bit deeper and can you tell me characteristics of that? Unfolded into like a 20-minute conversation. Now, at the time of this recording, my students were involved in a few different sports. Cheer was going on. Dance is like a year-round sport, but we were really heavy into volleyball season and basketball season, and a majority of kids in my class were on those teams, but even if they weren't, some of my students were involved in horse judging at this time. I'm in a small rural school, so that's really popular. So even if kids weren't in the quote-unquote traditional sports, there's competition for band, for chorus, for horse judging, for things outside of school like 4-H or piano recitals. There's really every kind of competition is gonna have an MVP. And it was funny because at one point during this conversation, I got absolutely slayed by my students because I was trying to get on their level. I was trying to build relationships with kids and connect. So I've never personally played volleyball. Like I was never on a volleyball team when I was in high school and middle school, but I know a little bit about the sport, right? So when the students were talking about the volleyball team, I was like, yeah, you know, bump set spike. And you should have seen their faces. You know, a popular word these days is cringe. And their faces were like, girl, that was so cringe. Bump set spike. I know that a majority of you listening right here are like, what's wrong with that? In volleyball, that's what you do. You bump set spike. I'm a millennial, okay? I'm 38 years old. I grew up in the 90s, okay? And that's what we said. I had a t-shirt that said bump set spike with a volleyball on it. And they're like, Ms. Genta, that is not what you say anymore. And I said, I hear that all the time. They're like, no, the only people who say bump, set, spike are the people who don't know what they're talking about. They said, Miss Genta, this whole lesson is about being an MVP. An MVP on the volleyball team would never call it bump, set, spike. They would call it pass, set, hit. And I'm like, pass, set, hit? Isn't that the same thing? They're like, no. The passer passes to the setter who sets it. And then the setter sets it up for the hitter. So it's pass, set, hit. And I'm like, so bump is really pass and spike is really hit. And they're like, yes. And then I'm like, and then set is still set. And they're like, correct. And here's the thing. I could have gotten like so frustrated by how ridiculous that is that all of a sudden in the year 2025, right, we're just saying, nope, we have reinvented the slogans for sports. But you know what? I'm on their level and I am trying to learn these words. So now I'm learning words like libero, okay, and words like tip, because these are all volleyball terms. And that's what happens when you create a space that is open and it's honest and there's great communication and there is the time and the space to have these kind of silly but honestly substantial conversations because the kids were really into it. This is what advisory, morning meeting, homeroom, social and emotional learning time should look like and sound like and feel like. Because honestly, I know that you've had students who've been like, this is dumb, this is cheesy, this is stupid, why do we have to do this, why do we have to be in this class? I get it, I've heard it myself, right? But I think that when we can have better lessons that don't take extra time and don't take extra effort, this is what ends up actually happening. And so guess what? This whole prompt of what does it mean to be an MVP is actually part of a curriculum that I wrote called 180 Days of Awesome SEO. It's where I took a full year's worth of engaging, fun, relevant, and relatable things and packaged them into a curriculum that I know works. In fact, I have that now for an elementary setting, and I also have that for a middle school setting. And all of these lessons have been tested, and I know that they work because I physically have done them and taught them with my own students in my own classrooms. And so for this day, the day that I did it was actually a Monday. Like what I'm describing to you, I did on a Monday. I like to call it Motivation Monday. Because I think on Mondays, kids come in one of two directions. They come in hot, like real hot, and they are fired up because they haven't seen their friends, or they come in like crickets, and you are just begging them to participate. At least that's been my experience. But what I have noticed is really good Motivation Monday lessons like this, where I throw out a question and we brainstorm, is so positive and so productive. Do you have to do this lesson on a Monday? Of course not, but it works really well, okay? So this is just one of 180 full lessons in this curriculum. I'm gonna continue to tell you all of the details of this lesson, but if you are curious and you need something like this, I'm gonna tell you in advance, you can get the entire 180 day curriculum in the show notes. You can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. Direct link in the show notes. It's also available on my website, monicagenta.com/180SEL. But every single lesson is included. Everything is linked. You don't have to plan. You don't have to prep. It's good to go. Okay. So once we brainstormed what an MVP is and the characteristics of that person, and then I got a little bit slayed by students, I asked, all right, what about an MPP? And they're like, what do you mean? What's an MPP? And I'm like, well, what do you think? What's the opposite of the most valuable player? So an MVP is most valuable player. What do you think an MPP is? And I got two really interesting answers that I want to talk about. I got a lot of answers, but my two favorite answers were most problematic player. And I hit pause on that. Okay. When you hear things like that, our goal as teachers is to hit pause on that and say, most problematic player. what's that? And they're like, it's the exact opposite. It's the person who's not a good sport. It's the person who's always complaining about how much playing time they get. It's the kid who puts forth zero effort at practice and then whines about how they're not starting or they never get into the game. It's the kid who like looks at the referee and throws their hands up in the air and is like, that was a terrible call. Were you even watching? And they are disrespectful to the coach, to the fans, to the referees or the umpires. And I'm like, that's what's up. Now, here's the thing. As a teacher, I knew that was going to come up. Why did I know that was going to come up? Because it comes up nearly every single time we talk about this. We are saying, hey, here's this awesome achievement, MVP. What's the opposite? It's the MPP. It's the most problematic player. And then somebody said, you know what? It's not always the player, Miss G. Sometimes there's an MPP that's different. And I said, well, tell me what that is. And they're like, it's the most problematic parent. And then we unpacked that. Because you know, as well as I know, that sometimes it's not the kids causing the problems on the court or on the field or at the activity. It's the parent who's talking smack to the referee or the umpire. It's the person in the stands who just has a lot to say about their kid's playing time. The most problematic parent or the most problematic player, the MPP. And we have this amazing conversation about how it's unlikely that the MVP, the most valuable player, is also the MPP or the child of the most problematic parent. And I said, okay, but so what do we do about that? If you've ever been the problematic player, if you have ever heard the problematic parent, how do you turn that around? What do you do? And we got into this really great conversation because the kids are like, well, sometimes the refs suck. And I'm like, I hear you. I think we can use a different word, but you're right, right? There are times when the refs are making bad calls. And they're like, and sometimes the parents are right. You know, they're screaming from the stands because they can. I said, yes, but how, what can we do? Like, what is in our realm of control when these things are happening? I said, if you're a problematic player, what's going on? They're like, well, sometimes the problematic player is complaining about their playing time because they're just not good at the game. And I said, so let me just kind of put this into perspective. I said, straight up, for all of you who are currently in an activity or in a sport, does it ever hit a situation where the entire team is being negative or nasty? And they're like, yeah, when the coach announces that we have to run sprints, we are so frustrated. And I said, okay, let me hear about your record. What's your record? How many games have you won this season? And they said the record, and honestly, they hadn't won many games. And I said, so why do you think you keep getting beat? And they're like, honestly, we're slow. And I'm like, oh, you're slow. Yet you complain every single time that you have to run sprints. I said, let's take the coach out of this. Let's take the refs out of this. If you guys wanted to be better as a team, do you think it would be helpful if you run sprints? And they're like, yes. And then I said, then here's the thing. You can't have it both ways, right? You can't complain about running sprints, but also say the reason why we're losing is because every single group, every single team beats us down the court. And we just had this open, real, raw, honest conversation of if we want to reach the level of MVP and not the level of MPP and not in the future be going to games and being the most problematic parent, then here are some things that we can do. Here are some strategies. And we had this open conversation that was so much fun. And then I busted out a final clip. A YouTube clip that I had found, okay? And this is linked anytime that during the 180 days of Awesome SEL in the curriculum, anytime that I have an external link to an article or to a YouTube video or some sort of other artifact, right? Anytime I'm building the lesson in the full curriculum, those are automatically linked, okay? So I had found this really, really good YouTube video that I knew would be perfect for this because the kids are like, the kids who don't score points are normally not the MVP. The kids who normally sit the bench are normally not the MVP. And then I busted out a YouTube video. where a student on a basketball team had not gotten any playing time all season. But it was the very last game of the season. And everyone on the team had scored except for one student. And this student had a unique set of disadvantages. And this student had a unique ability to make the team smile, but not necessarily score a lot of points. So I said, can this student in this video clip, can they be the MVP? And they're like, well, how many assists do they have? I'm like, zero. They're like, well, how many points does the kid have? I'm like, zero. They're like, how fast is the student? I'm like, not real fast, not real focused, doesn't really understand the rules of the game, but they're a team player. They show up for every practice. And they're like, nah, that kid can't be the MVP. And then I rolled the clip. And you should have seen the kids' faces. And the kids are like, well, time out. That kid could be the MVP. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a great story. That's a great clip. And all of a sudden, as they are watching the context of what it could mean to be an MVP, as both teams pause and they don't guard the student who's got the basketball, the student who's not scored a single point the whole season, both teams had kind of agreed like, hey, let this kid have their time to shine. Let this kid have their moment. And every time the kid would miss, both teams would hand the kid the ball again and say, try it again, try it again. And then the kid finally scores and the gym erupts into applause. And the kid is jumping up and down and runs over to his coach and the coach gives him a big hug and people in the audience are crying. It's a whole thing. And it completely shifted the perspective of what it could mean to be an MVP. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are athletic. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've scored the most points. Could the MVP actually be the most positive player, the most compassionate player, the most charismatic player, the player that laughs the most, or the player that you learn the most from in a way that maybe you didn't think possible? These are the conversations and these are the characteristics of really, really meaningful advisory, social, emotional learning or homeroom time. I know that this is built into a lot of schedules and quite frankly, a lot of schools right now are saying it's gotta go. We don't have the time for that. We don't have the time for that. And I get it, okay? Those conversations are happening in my district too. But I do think that there is a time and a space for us to do this, even if it's not chiseled out on a daily or weekly basis. I want you to be the MVP of your school, the most valuable player of your school. In other words, the MVT, the most valuable teacher. And I'm not saying that award goes to one person. You could be the MVT, the most valuable teacher of your school for this reason, whereas somebody else down the hall is the most valuable teacher for a different reason. I think every single teacher truly can be the MVT of your building for different reasons. But my question to you is, will you be the MVT of your hallway or your school for saying, you know what? I'm going to dive into this conversation, or I'm going to dive into the full 180 days of awesome curriculum and just really make sure that the social emotional awareness of all kids is taken care of. I'm telling you, this lesson was easy to implement. It took about 40 minutes to really hit on all of the points from the starting question of what is MVP mean to, what are the characteristics to having kind of more deep conversations of what do you mean by that, followed by finally the clip at the end. But it was all structured and it was all in there and it was ready for me to go. And it's also ready for you to go if you want to check that out. 180 days of awesome SEL curriculum at monicagenta.com/180SEL. I can't wait to hear how this goes in your classroom with your students. I want to remind you that these episodes are dropping every single Sunday night, so you are ready for your commute on Monday morning or your commute home on Monday afternoon. What I'm going to continue to do over the course of the next few months as we say goodbye to this school year is continue to give out more ideas from the full curriculum, because here's what happens at the end of the school year is your principals have money for curriculum that they have to use by the end of the school year or they lose it. And so if you're like, ooh, I want to get my hands on one of those licenses for the curriculum, your principal's got it. In the meantime, thank you so much for being the MVT, the most valuable teacher of your hallway or your rotunda. But most importantly, I just want to thank you for living this teacher life.